In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you should be in Colossians at this point. Very good. Our granddaughter, Lily, is now 5 months old. Now, you just might as well get used to illustrations from my granddaughter's life because I have to say something periodically about it. But in that five-month period, we've been able to spend 3 weeks with her and her parents. And we've seen a great deal of training going on, training her to sleep at the right time, training her to eat the right foods. One thing I do disagree with that they're doing, they're teaching her to eat sweet potatoes. I'm from Idaho. We don't believe in sweet potatoes. Real potatoes. So this child's got problems already. Teach her to roll over, and she's very talented now. She can roll over both directions already. Yeah, she's a precocious child. And teaching her to smile and to be happy and do all these things. A lot of teaching going on, and that process is really going to continue for years and years and years and years. Education, of course, teaching about social things, all that kind of stuff going on. There's one area of training, I'm afraid, that often, even in our Christian homes, is not done the way it ought to be done, and that is spiritual training. And to be honest with you folks, of all of the training that we do for our children, this one has the greatest eternal consequence, and yet I am afraid is often the most neglected. And it is crucial that we as Christian parents make our training of our children spiritually it's crucial. We need to make it a high priority. Now, again, I know many of you are like me, and that day is past, but you've got grandchildren on the scene, maybe great-grandchildren, and you even as a spiritual parent, grandparent, great-grandparent can have a great role in their lives also and train them spiritually. Now, we've been studying God's rules for relationships in Colossians chapter 3. We started back in verse 18 where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And then we turn to the husbands in verse 19. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And then in verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Here is the child's duty is to obey the parent, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then finally, verse 21, where we are today, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And that parallel passage, let's go ahead and turn there back in Ephesians chapter 6, because we're going to really spend most of our time there today. Ephesians 6, 1. Now, our favorite verse in Ephesians 6 is probably verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, that's the child's responsibility, but parents, our responsibility is verse 4, "And ye fathers," or parents, "provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So far in this passage, we've seen the identity of the children, and that's pretty obvious, the offspring. We have seen the duty of the children. Their duty is to obey, to hear and to obey. And again, there's a great motive for this. You know, again, if you have children who are still living at home, obedience or training your child to obey is not easy. It is a difficult, difficult task. But folks, if you fail to teach your children to obey, then you have failed in their life for many, many years to come. And by the way, I had this in my introduction. I forgot to mention it. As I've been teaching these lessons, and as you've been hearing them, if you're like me, you say, man, if I could go back and change and do it over, boy, I sure wish I could. Now, the simple matter of fact is you can't, okay? So you can either kick yourself and destroy yourself about the past, or you can say, you know what? I'm going to do right today. And even if you have children at home, you would say, boy, I wish, you know, when they were two, I would have done this, or when they were three, I would have... You can't go back and change it, but you can do all you can now. And what we need to do as believers and as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents is focus on today. What influence can I have today? By the way, Mr. Gilbert, congratulations, our newest grandparent. That's great. Born, what was the last, a week ago yesterday, I think? And doing well? Great. You don't look much older. You know, when I became a grandparent, Bob, I said, I'm not old enough to be a grandparent. I'm sure you feel the same way. I'm sure you do. That's exactly right. Now, as we were studying children obeying, we gave three reasons, three motives why they ought to obey. Let's pop quiz. Here we go. According to Scripture, what are the three reasons children ought to obey their parents? Okay, there's a blessing, isn't there? On long life and good life. Okay, there's one. Two more. It's right. Okay, why should they obey? Because it's right. Okay, it's just right. And that comes from God. What's the third one? It pleases God. Very good. I heard that somewhere over here. Very good. You got all three. Well, you passed the quiz. Let's pray and go home. As you go. All right, good. Yes. Sit down, boy. Now, last week we talked about discipline, and there's two parts to that discipline, aren't there? And we talked about the command to discipline. That word, bring them up in the, again, that sweet-sounding word, the nurture, you know? But that word really means what? How is it translated in Hebrews chapter 12? Chastise or discipline. Bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. And this is review from last week, but in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes over and over and over again. In Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope. Again, what does that infer? There will be a time when there's not hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. And then we saw the caution for discipline. And he says, provoke not your children. Don't irritate. Don't arouse resentment. Don't make angry or make bitter through your discipline. And we had five or six things, and I'll review those again very quickly. Number one was, well, let's see how many we can remember. This was just last week. What are some things that we can do as parents to keep our children from resenting that discipline? Be consistent. Well, that's a tough one, but that's so important, isn't it? Rush, what'd you say? Yeah, that was our first one, wasn't it? Don't discipline in anger. And that's tough. That's tough. Be consistent. We talked about not showing favoritism. That's tough too, isn't it? Because your kids are all different. Larry, you got how many? Five? And they're all different. Every one of them, aren't they? Every one of them's different. I've only got two. And they are poles apart. They both have their strengths. They both have their weaknesses. They're different. And if you're not careful, you'll show favoritism. Don't be severe in discipline. And that is with the punishment, you know, grounding them for 6 months. How many of you ever ground your children for 6 months? Anybody willing to admit it? No, we won't. Okay. Just curious. End up lasting 6 hours. Don't be severe in language. Oh, my. Let me remind you, as parents, boy, watch your mouth when you talk to your children. What a terrible thing to tell a child he's stupid or he's ignorant. I hope none of you have ever done that or lost your temper and said, I just wish you were never born. What a terrible thing to say to a child. And the final one was allow them to grow, realizing that God is working their life, their children, they're growing. Now, yes, exactly right. We're going to get to that too today. Because we're talking about not only the nurture, but the admonition. Now, that's a nice word, isn't it? It's an interesting word. It's a two-part word dealing with the mind and to place in or to sink down. Okay, you get that picture? So we see there's the discipline, then there's the admonition, placing in their mind so it settles in their mind and it stays there. That's the teaching aspect. Now, in the noun form, this word is only used twice. Let me give you both those passages. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, our teaching, our learning. Then in Titus 3:10, it says, a man that is an heretic, after the first, you said, that's my child, after the first and second admonition, reject. But the verb form, I think, tells us a whole lot more. Listen to these verses. Same word, but it's the verb form. Acts 20:31. Therefore, watch, remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. How is that word translated in that verse? Warn. Same word. It's the verb form. In 1 Timothy or Thessalonians 5:14 it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." That's the same word, folks. So this teaching is warning. There's a young man that grew up in our church. Many of you remember him probably. But as he grew up, he got a lot of trouble in his high school years. But every time it happened, his father, who is no longer alive and neither is this young man, would step in and pull some strings to keep his son from having to pay the penalty for his problem. Now, the end result of that was he thought he could get away with anything, and he ended up in prison. See, there is a warning process that needs to take place. This is part of that teaching process. In Colossians 1:28, same word, listen. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, that is a great verse for a parent. In fact, you're in Colossians. Just flip back a page. Colossians 1:28. Let's look at it again. This is a wonderful verse for a parent. Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach, let's talk about preaching Christ, warning every man, that's that same word, admonition, and teaching every man in all wisdom. Now here, folks, is the reason that you need to have discipline in your home. Or one of the reasons. That we may present every child mature in Christ Jesus. See, I'll be honest, there were times that I disciplined my child because I was mad. There were times that I disciplined my child because I thought what they did hurt my testimony, and it was a pride factor. This is just confession time. If any of you are priests, you can forgive me if you would. Say 15 Hail Marys and we'll be okay. That's the wrong motive. Here's the right motive. That we might present them mature in Christ Jesus. Well, there's a great motive as a parent. That'd be a great verse to memorize. There were times that I disciplined my child to make my life easier. Because I knew if they'd get their act together, it'd be a whole lot easier for me. Isn't it amazing the reasons we discipline? For the wrong reasons? Okay. No, we should discipline them and teach them. This is the nurture and the admonition so that they will be saved and live a righteous life. Be mature believers. The overall goal, folks, is to produce a Christ-like child. That's the job we're after, folks. Colossians 3:16, look there. Same word is used. And this is a great passage because this is the lead-in to the passage we're studying. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Before you can teach and admonish in the things of God, according to that passage, what must be true? You got to have it in you, don't you? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Before you can ever be the parent you ought to be, you've got to be right with God. We're going to talk about that more as we go on here. You can't have a proper relationship in teaching your child unless you have a proper relationship with God. You know, that's probably the main reason we fail, isn't it? We're not walking with God. We expect our child to walk with God and to be obedient, but we're not being obedient, and we wonder why they're not. Okay? So this is a great passage. Placing the truth in the child's heart. Teaching them to do right and what's wrong. Helping to remember it. So, I want to go to another passage. Turn back to Deuteronomy. This is a great passage. And it teaches the same truth. And Doug referred to this earlier. Deuteronomy 6. I would encourage you, if you have children at home, to really study this passage. This is a great passage. Deuteronomy 6, we'll start at verse 4. Again, we're talking about admonition, admonishing, teaching the child. Okay? Now, here's how we teach. Deuteronomy 6, 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Do you see that? Let me read that again. Verse 5, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." That needs to occur. Now what happens after that happens? Verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Do you see how it works, folks? We say, "Oh, I want my child to be obedient and to serve God and to love God." It's not going to happen if you don't and if I don't. It really won't, folks. He said, look, the parent is to learn it and to live it. And once you've learned it and lived it, then what are you to do? Then you teach it. What do we want to do? Teach it, right? That's exactly right. Now, I was going to turn to Deuteronomy 11. It says exactly the same thing. But here it is, folks, in the life of Paul, too. Now, this is an amazing verse. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, now, I'd like you to tell this to your children, and I'm going to tell it to mine, right? Here it is. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Wow. Now, stop and think about this. What would your children be like? Todd, you've got three children. What would your children be like if they were all like you? That's kind of sobering, isn't it? I got news for you. In a lot of ways, they are. That's exactly right. You're exactly right. "Be ye followers of me." In Philippians 4:9, it says, "Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Wow. And again, the simple matter of fact is, folks, whether you want them to or not, they're going to. What spiritual condition would my children be like if they were just like me? It's pretty sobering, isn't it? There are some great examples, although it's funny because all the examples I've got, they're positive and they're negative. Abraham was called the what? What was he known as? Friend of God. That's pretty good. Okay? Here's a guy who walked with God. And the Lord said to him, in fact, you're in Deuteronomy, turn back to Genesis, you can look at it there, Genesis 18, 19. Genesis 18, 19. This is an amazing truth. The Lord talking to Abraham, and he says in verse 18, Abraham's going to be mighty, become a great nation. And he says, "I know that," in verse 19, "for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." What a great truth. God said, "I know Abraham," and he's gonna teach his children, they're going to follow him. What a great truth. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he was called what? What was his name? The what? Man after God's own heart. That's pretty good too, isn't it? I mean, David said in Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." What was the one thing David was seeking after, folks? "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David said, the one thing I want is to walk with God, to know his presence. What a great truth. And David set out, turn to 1 Chronicles 28, see what David said to his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Keeping you active this morning, keeps you awake. 28:9. Here is David speaking to his son Solomon. And he says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know the Lord, thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." What a great truth. He said, Solomon, seek God. Another great example. This is all positive. We're going to get back to these two guys in a minute. But there was a young man named Timothy who loved God. Why did he love God? Why does the scripture say he loved God? Yeah. A lady named Eunice and a lady named Lois. And it says of them in the Word of God, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in thee also." Wow, what a great truth. What a great truth. My desire is that the faith of my father that has been passed on to me be passed on to my children and now to my grandchild. That's my desire. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, folks, right living gives you the authority to give right teaching. How much authority do you have in teaching the things of God if you're not obeying the things of God? I really think, folks, that one of the reasons we see children who are raised in church, I'm not saying this is the only reason, so if your child has kicked the traces, I think often the reason we see children kick the traces when they get older is because there's a lot of teaching with the lips, but the life didn't back it up. And the children just concluded that it's all hypocrisy. There's no reality to it. Now, again, if your child has kicked the traces, I'm not saying, "You are wicked and sinful." I don't know. I mean, children still have a will, okay? But I'm afraid that often we have Christians that are, we are great saints at church as parents. And our children see that, and we stand up, we testify, and we say, "God loves you," and we're these upstanding citizens at church. But when we go home, it's a whole different story. And our children say, "This is not real." And they kick it, they throw it off. We've seen that at our church when we've had youth pastors who have fallen into sin. And I can think of folks in here, you've got family members that are far from God. And one of the reasons is we had a youth pastor who committed adultery. And those young people worshipped him. They thought he was a great guy. And all of a sudden, all the things they worship is gone. You know, it's not real. And those kids never recovered from that. I mean, I know they still have a choice to make. But folks, we got to have some reality, folks. Your life, get this. Your life is more powerful than your lips. My dad always said, what you're doing is speaking so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. That's pretty good. What you're doing speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And I'm afraid often we fail as parents because our life doesn't back up what we say. Now, let me go back to Abraham. Abraham taught his children some amazing things. But Abraham had some problems too, didn't he? What are some problems Abraham had in his life? He lied about Sarah being his wife. Lo and behold, Isaac comes along, and what does Isaac do? Exact same thing. I wonder where he learned that at. David had one major fall in his life, and it dealt with whom? Bathsheba. He had a woman problem. Solomon comes along. Well, he had a woman problem. Solomon comes along, and what's he got? He's got a woman problem. And it led him far from God. Often, especially in athletic endeavors, I see this most in Hannah because she's the most athletic, and she gets frustrated in the ball court. And I think, where did she learn that? Something I struggle with. I'm 52. I still struggle with it. And boy, it's just right in the family line. By the way, my dad struggled with it. And both of my brothers struggle with it. My sisters are saints, so. One of my sisters doesn't play any ball. The other one that did, she was a saint. And, you know, she's perfect, so what can you do? But I tell you, folks, your life in front of your children is so important. It's so important. Now, so we're teaching with our life. Secondly, we're teaching with our lips. With our lips. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We saw that first priority. The parent, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And these words which I command, they shall be in thine heart. And then, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and they shall write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Wow! When is a parent to be teaching their children about the things of God? All the time. At the supermarket. And you don't call that anymore. At Walmart, okay? At Target, if you go there. Or wherever you are, on the ball field, at home. One of our men who's in here, I won't tell you who it is, but he came the other day and said, hey, after a message, my son and I were in the car going home, we were talking about the message. That's how it ought to be. Constantly teaching. Every time you have an opportunity, teaching and teaching. And you got to be careful about that. We had several awkward experiences with people smoking, and my children, you know, they've been taught that was wrong, and they were going to tell him it's wrong, you know. And this is, what's wrong with that man? He's smoking over there, you know. And but we ought to be teaching them at every chance. When a commercial comes on and something is bad, you ought to be teaching your children. Of course, that's not an issue with me. I don't watch commercials. That's why I have a remote. I mean, what's this commercial stuff? Teaching our children all the time, teaching them. And teaching them the things of God. And then I think there needs to be daily structured teaching. This is why you ought to have your children in church. So they hear the Word of God being taught and preached. That's why we're getting ready to start cadets up. If you've got children up to sixth grade, they ought to be in cadets. You say, it's so hard to get here Wednesday night. Folks, we're training them. Do you realize that if your child comes to every service, that less than 3% of their time will be in church? That's not very much, is it? Less than 3%. Now, if that's the case, by the way, is the church enough? No. They ought to be in church. You ought to work with them. But there ought to be daily teaching the Word of God. I tell you, folks, one of the hardest things I had to do with my children was have daily devotions with my family. I mean, we teach it, we preach it. Come on, if you're spiritual, you'll sit down for a half hour every day with your children, you'll pray, and you'll read Scripture, and you'll teach them. Good luck with that. It's one of the hardest things, and especially as they got older. When they were smaller, you know, it wasn't quite as bad, but the older they got, the more stuff there was going on. But boy, it's crucial, folks, that you make a priority of teaching your children the Word of God. It's interesting, I talked to you about Timothy. There's another passage in 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Where do you think you learned them? At home. Now, this teaching process, folks, about the things of God should be going on all the time. Now, what are you teaching your children? Is it wrong to teach your children to play ball? I don't think so. Is it wrong to teach your children how to act in public? I wish some of you would. No, just kidding. No. Is it wrong to want your child to have a good education and to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic? You know, is it wrong? No. Those things are all important. But when push comes to shove, folks, What's the most important? When both of my girls played volleyball in their senior year of high school, that was the only year they played. Hannah and Amy, Bob's daughter, I think they didn't have enough players at Cedar View, and so kind of on a whim, you know, here they are, they're seniors. They never played any sports. They decided to play volleyball. You know? So I got sucked in, and the coach was a first-year coach and didn't have a clue, and I didn't have much more of a clue, but we kind of worked together. And I would arrange my schedule so that I could be out to Cedar View, which is 18 miles, I think, from here, two or three times a week to help with volleyball. And I went to the away games and did all these things. And then Hannah was homeschooled up till she was a senior, and she was out in Bristol. It's even further. And she decided she was going to play volleyball. And there, again, their coach didn't know what she was doing and asked me if I would help. And so I would be, get, I'd go, of course, I had to pick them up from school anyway. I'd go early and we'd sit and go, we'd go to. What's the point? Well, you can make time for what you think is important. And I thought, what could my children be like if I'd place that same emphasis on teaching spiritual truth? We're going to be in church. What do we teach our children? We say, you know, oh, church attendance is so important, you know, but there's something good on TV. We can't go tonight. Or there's a ball game. We can't go. What do we just taught them? Church is not really important. Folks, we just need to get serious about teaching our children the things of God. If you don't teach them, who's going to? Now, we're going to do all we can at the church. We've got Sunday school. We've got church. We've got children's church. By the way, I'm not against children's church, but I would encourage you, as your children get to be fourth, fifth, sixth grade, they can handle Pastor Jody. They ought to be in the church service over there. Now, that's just my personal opinion. If you don't like it, that's okay. All right? You're the parent. You do what you think is right. All right? That's my personal opinion. We ought to have them here Sunday night for the preaching of the Word of God. When they get to be teenagers, and many of you have teenagers, they ought to be in youth meeting. Be with Brother Bob. Let Brother Bob help them. And they have, when they go places with youth, they ought to go. They ought to go. I'm for it all. When they have camp, they ought to go. Send them to camp. My little girl, little boy. Send them to camp. It'd be good for them. Isn't that right? Your daughter survived first time. That's right. You ought to use every opportunity to let them hear the Word of God. And then you need to do it at home too. And I would encourage you as parents. Many of you, some of you still have small children at home. Folks, take time every day or as many days as you can and teach the Word of God and pray with your children and train them in the things of God. You say, I'll be glad to beat the snot out of it. I'll do the discipline part. That's only half of it. It's the nurture and admonition. And by the way, how does that verse end? Of the Lord. Teaching about the Lord. Folks, it's crucial. It's crucial. This is the parents' responsibility. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's the Word of God says. So I challenge you. I exhort you. Get the priorities in line. The most important thing you can do for your child is to teach them to love God and to serve Him with all their heart. And the only way you can do that is if you yourself love God and serve Him with all your heart. And then teach them and train them to be what God wants them to be. Okay? Lord, we thank You for Your Word. It's clear. Now, Lord, help us to apply these truths as we can. Again, I know there are some that the children are gone, but I pray You'd help us to be able to influence the generations that are coming for You. And even as we spend time with our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that we would have a spiritual influence on them. And Lord, we ask again, finally, Your blessing on our homes. Oh God, bless our homes. Help our homes to be places that honor You, where You are lifted up, and help our children to love You and to want to serve You. And as they grow older, God, help them make right choices and accept the things of God and walk by faith and walk with God, we pray. Raise up some great saints of God in our church. Raise up some preachers, some missionaries, some Christian school teachers, some Christian laymen, some Christian housewives, some folks that will serve you for all their lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take two pair of pants yesterday?
Did I what?
Did you take two pair of pants yesterday?